Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Thanks to VideoDoc. See a GP online anytime for prescriptions and sick notes. Download the VideoDoc app. VideoDoc.ie.
This is Ciara and this is a Lunchtime Live podcast from News Talk. If you like what you hear, don't forget that you can subscribe via the app or on iTunes and make sure to check us out at newstalk.com/lunchtimelive. Thanks for listening.
Oh, Jeffrey! Jeffrey, your team has the ball. You don't gotta play defense now.
It's okay, Jeffrey. You're doing great. Hey, Big Jeff.
Oh, give me a break.
Would you just cheer?
Hang in there, Jeffrey.
Good hustle, Big Jeff.
Yay, Jeffrey! Way to go, Jeffrey!
And of course, that is a clip from Everybody Loves Raymond as Ray gives his very young son a bit of hard time as he plays basketball. So why are we playing this today? Well, we received a message here at the Lunchtime Live programme from a parent who says that they're very disheartened because their child makes a huge effort to attend hurling training, really enjoys the sport, but ends up actually getting ready for the game only to sit on the sideline each time. So what we want to know today from you is this ever acceptable? To discuss, I'm joined by Sarah Jane Belton, a lecturer in physical education at Dublin City University. Sarah Jane, good afternoon.
Hi there, how are you doing?
Is it ever acceptable that a child should be left out of a game?
It's a tricky one. I think we have to consider age as a factor here. I would say up to under 11, certainly, they shouldn't be. You know, you need to have all kids participating, small-sided games, as many touches on the ball as possible. That really needs to be the ethos. However, I suppose we have to be conscious that sport is a competitive situation. Sport is about competition. So we have to make sure that that element is there too, the element of winning and losing. So sometimes you will have kids on the sideline. But for me, it's not acceptable that a kid never gets game time. If a child turns up to training religiously, if they try hard, they need to be rewarded with time on the pitch. You know, yes, some kids may get more time on the pitch than others, but it needs to be age-related. I would say even up to about age 15, you know, you need to keep these kids going.
Okay, so even up to that age, because I know you mentioned kind of under 11s there just at the outset, but even up to 15?
That would be my opinion. Up to age 11, it's kind of best practice. I mean, the GAA do a very good job at this. They have their Go Games initiative, and up until under 11, in fact, in the Go Games, children, the ethos is for all children to participate. You know, it's not necessarily about winning, losing or keeping score. It's about having small-sided games and getting all the kids on the pitch. And that as an ethos is the way we need to go, and it's where we should be going. But for me, I think the hockey is a good example where even up to age under 15, and depending on the club, now the club may have the rule on this, quite often you see rolling subs that every 3-4 minutes they change the player so that everybody does get time on the pitch. And if all teams were to adhere to that, we wouldn't have this problem of kids sitting on the sideline or feeling uninvolved.
Okay, so you mentioned even just, I suppose, one or two different sports there that kind of nearly have a little bit of an ethos whereby kids under the age of 15 or teenagers under 15, kids under 11, etc. Is that just regarded as being best practice in most sports that, look, right up until whatever, X age, we're going to do that kind of rolling sub slash, you know, get as many kids on the pitch as often as we can and try and have that level of inclusion? Because obviously just this parent in particular, it's the reason we're covering this item today and looking at this particular topic, is that this, you know, parent obviously has a different experience with their child who seems to be under the age of 12 as well.
Yeah, no, it is. I mean, it is good practice. And in fairness, we were talking about hurling there, which is under the GAA, and the GAA themselves advocate the Go Games initiative and getting all kids involved and not leaving kids on the sidelines. So certainly with a kid under that age, it shouldn't be happening. I mean, it can be so damaging to the child. Like, they're training hard, they're playing hard. They're so young, they need to be actually participating. They need to be getting their time on the pitch. And I give you, I mean, a couple of good examples would be the likes of Michael Jordan. I mean, who hasn't heard of Michael Jordan, the basketball player? He wasn't selected for his school team. You know, and the risk is that because he wasn't tall enough at that time. Brian O'Driscoll will be another example, who certainly wasn't the star in terms of Junior Cup rugby, you know, considered too small, not really able for it and not getting much game time. And the danger is that clubs alienate these kids. How many Brian O'Driscolls or Michael Jordans just gave up because they were left on the sideline like this child we're talking about? And that's the danger for clubs. But for me, the concern is more about the child themselves. All children can be successful. They're going to grow, they're going to develop at different stages, at different rates. And we just have to cater for that. We have to allow them the time on task. If they get the sense that they're not able. If coaches are leaving them on the sideline, they're going to get the sense that they are not able, that they are not good enough. They will drop out. Mm. They will drop out.
When you obviously your own professional experiences working as a lecturer in PE or physical education, like you mentioned there, I suppose the impact this can have on a child's life. But like what, Sarah Jane, kind of happens maybe later in life in terms of their interest in things like sport and physical activity, physical recreation, if it's a case that they've sort of been discouraged or felt excluded from an early age, from early childhood?
Yeah, children and as you're growing into adults, we have the sense that we are not sporty. You know, how many people would you talk to? You're out for coffee, your friends, people you meet at university, that they say, oh, geez, I'm not sporty. You mean, that's something that has been ingrained in them because, you know, perhaps some poor physical education practices where there were knockout games or kids were allowed to select their own teams. Perhaps situations like this at underage sport where they tried really hard and they were told, well, you know, you're on the bench today, and they don't actually get time on the pitch. That's where people get the sense that I am not good enough and that I am not a sporty person. And what happens then is they feel that physical activity isn't for them because quite often they haven't had the broad kind of scope and the broad balanced exposure to a range of physical activities. There are so many sports and physical activities out there, and everybody can be good at something. I can guarantee you that. Yeah. Because there's such a range.
Just even some of the messages actually already, Sarah Jane, is coming in on this. Andrew Malahide has got in contact to say, no, it's not a tricky one. Up to about under 16, every child should get a go. It's only a game at the end of the day. Another listener has got in contact to say that sometimes the worst case scenarios can be whereby the children are allowed to pick the teammates to participate on the team, where really it should be up to coaches and selectors to do that, so that there isn't one child who's always the kid that's the last selected to be on the team.
Absolutely. I mean, you can't argue with that. And I think most people with a level head and most people that are parents themselves would say, you know, why would we do this? You know, it's winning, losing, drawing at age under 15, does it matter? No, it doesn't. It's about the exposure. It's about the participation. Learning to win, learning to lose, learning to work as a team. All of that is really, really important. And that's okay. What we need to be doing. Unfortunately, until it gets embedded within the national governing bodies of sport, we're still going to be faced with this situation, but it's certainly something that needs to change.
Just you talked as well, I suppose, about the competitive side of things a little bit earlier as well, Sarah Jane. Just even one listener has got in contact to say, like, at the end of the day, winning is the integral part, or it is an integral part of sport. Children do need to be exposed to a level of competitiveness as well, but I suppose it's about finding the right balance there and the right age, I suppose, for the child as well. Kids can obviously be different too.
Yeah, no, it is. And it's not necessarily, I suppose, what we're not necessarily talking about is winning and losing. Winning and losing are an important part of sport. And really, you know, it's not really sport if you don't have some elements of winning and losing. But what we're talking about is participation and everyone's right to be on the pitch to win or lose. And winning and losing not being the be-all and end-all in underage sport. There are so many lessons to be learned, in fact, in terms of life lessons, how to be a good winner, how to be a good loser. Kids learn so much from sport in that sense. But every child should have the opportunity to learn that, not just the ones that the adults perceive as the better players.
If you don't mind, Sarah Jane, just maybe holding the line just for a few moments. We just have quite a number of text messages actually in on this. If anyone wants to get in contact, it's 53106 at a cost of 30 cent. We're just going to go to Dermot, actually, a caller who's on the line. Dermot, good afternoon.
Hello, hi.
Just Dermot, what's your view? What's your view on this? Is it a case that is it ever acceptable to leave kids on the sidelines, or should everybody up to a certain point be included in the team sport?
Well, absolutely. I mean, I think it has been mentioned already. The GAA, I think, have done a huge amount of good work in this area with Go Games in particular. All teams under the age, sort of under 11 and down, would participate in small-sided games. Where every single player is encouraged to get equal game time. So it's something that the GAA has done a lot of work to try and coach coaches around Dublin in particular, I suppose, where I'm from, to try and help us to understand the needs of kids at various ages. We have what they would call a player pathway, where at every age the coaches are given a plan as to what aspects or skills that we should work on with the kids. But that's every child, and every child has to be included, and every child has to be made feel as if they're an important part of that team. Where it changes slightly, perhaps, is when you come out of the Go Games model.
Okay. Age, actually, just for Dermot, if people don't know, what age does that run up to, the Go Games initiatives?
Up to under 11.
Up to 11, okay.
Okay. Now, over that, and I suppose where you might say to under 14, those next 2 years, there's a slight shift, and it would depend on the size of the club, whether they have a single team or two teams, for example. Because during that particular period, the kids grow and change so much, and it can change from month to month, where they have their biggest growth spurt.
Mm. And they're just entering the early teenage, you know, years as well. So the whole, you know, everything becomes so much more difficult and so much more, dramatic for them as well.
Absolutely. So I suppose, again, you're in a phase where it's very important to give everybody game time. And I suppose you have a situation, though, where in the bigger clubs, you have maybe an A team and a B team, and you have kids that... at that point, you're kind of looking and you're seeing, well, we kind of have to grade these, because the important thing for every child's development is to get as many touches as possible of a ball in a match situation. So therefore, you don't want to put a child playing at a level where they never get to touch the ball, because that's no good to their own personal development.
Okay.
So you have to make choices, as I suppose, then splitting them between an A and B team in order to give the child maximum amount of touches of a ball, an opportunity to express themselves, to be the best player that they can be, and grow moving forward.
Okay. Well, look, Dermot, listen, thanks for making contact with us. If anybody else would like to join the conversation today, that number is 1890 453 106. Just Sarah-Jane, if I can just maybe go back to you, it's actually an interesting point that Dermot mentioned there, that idea of a kind of a grading system. At least, while it might be deemed unfair by some parents or kids that their child didn't make, you know, the Class A or the number one team, but there is that element still of inclusion, and they're still getting the participation and equal time as well. How would you view that?
Yeah, no, I think it's certainly better than leaving kids on the sideline. It's definitely a better way to go. There are pros and cons to it. I suppose it's like the argument of streaming in schools. You know, your better kids are going to keep on getting better because they're kind of interacting and playing with each other. And really, quite often at this age, when you're talking maybe 14, 15 years of age, a lot of your better players, it's actually due to the relative age effect, which is where kids are actually born within the first 3 months of the year. So they are potentially, you know, 8-9 months older than the other kids in their age bracket, and that's why they're better. And that relative age effect, it can be a huge problem. I mean, I think it was Ulster GAA did a report recently where 70% of the kids were representing at the age level were born within the first 3 months of the year.
Right.
And if we're going to allow that to drive things, it's such a disadvantage to, you know, the kids that are born later in the year because they are that bit younger. And I think the idea of having a couple of teams is absolutely essential. But my preference would be that they're not graded teams, that they are two teams of equal.
Okay, just,
you know,
call them...
where we can. But yeah, I do recognise also that club sport, it's about winning and losing and, you know, winning cups for
it's a fine line.
Yeah, you know, it is a fine line.
Look, thanks very much for joining us today. That's, of course, Sarah-Jane Belton, who's a lecturer in physical education at Dublin City University. Ross has also made contact with us. Ross, good afternoon.
How you doing?
Just, Ross, what's your view of this?
Well, I had a coach, a rugby underage coach years ago. He would have trained me from about under 8 to under 12. And he normally made every effort to get everybody on the pitch at some point during the match.
Okay.
But we had one occasion where it was a championship deciding match. And he explained to... And we had a pretty big squad for an under... There was, I think, only 10 on the... 10 or 12 on the pitch, but we would have had maybe 20 there. So we did a lot of substitutes. And he explained to the whole squad and to the parents that not everybody would be getting a run out because we'd done really well this season. We had to win this final match.
Mm.
And it was a grudge match for us as well. It was again, and the other team were also going to win the league. So it was going to be a real crunch. And he said, look, not everybody is going to get out on that pitch. He wasn't going to...
Everybody feel when they heard that?
Well, I'm sure some people felt very hard done by, but at the same time, I think because he explained it to them and said, look, we're winning this, you know, and he would have highlighted the fact that, you know, it had been a complete squad effort for the season, but this match, he had to put out his strongest team.
And I suppose there will be an acceptance then from all of the players and people on the team that, well, look, there's only, you know, X amount of people can be on the team as well,
yeah.
You know, and was it the idea that it was actually everybody was sat down and this was explained to them? Do you think did that help Ross in terms of, I suppose, for children to try and process that? Like,
absolutely, I think it helped big time, you know. He said, look, you might get on, there could be injuries, this kind of thing, you never know. But, and so he still needed everybody there. So I think, everybody still felt included.
Yeah.
And I mean, afterwards when we won, you know, I think those that didn't get on almost forgot about it.
Yeah, because everybody shared in the experience. And
absolutely. You know, the parents were delighted as well. And I think they understood, maybe because he explained to the parents as well, they could have then spoken to their kids after.
Yeah. Okay, well, it's good. It's good to see that there's actually, you know, that you had a good experience, and that perhaps that's a sort of maybe an idea that could actually be floated or used by other coaches and selectors as well. Ross, thanks for making contact with us as well. That number again is 1890-453-106. Just a number of texts actually. Michael has got in contact. There are kayak and canoe clubs all over the country that provide participants fun, healthy experience without the need for competition. Canoe Ireland runs kids camps and courses as well. Orla's got in contact to say, good afternoon. I have two teenagers, a 13-year-old girl and a 16-year-old boy. Neither interested in ball sports. They both take part in athletics and love it. It caters for many disciplines and may also appeal to that child as well. Julie's got in contact to say, both my children have dealt with this for a number of years. It's extremely frustrating. And another listener says, hi, even the older lads need time in the pitch. My 20-year-old son never got time to play in finals in older league. He was strong and fit, but just not good enough to go on. It's all about winning. I know he felt bad not getting even 5 minutes. I hated to watch him just sitting along the sideline. He still goes, but I know it's affected his confidence. It's an interesting point as well.
Thanks again for listening to this Lunchtime Live podcast. Please do subscribe via the app or on iTunes, and check us out on newstalk.com/lunchtimelive. Talk to you again soon.